Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I can hear the booze already.
Oh my god. We want Derek.
That's what I was hearing.
Yeah, I know, man.
I had to. We gotta give each other a hard time, otherwise it's not fun.
You're hosting the next one. Next time we have a substitute.
Derek's going to be back next time.
Yeah. So, see how it goes. Just, come on. I mean, we took like two episodes. It took us two episodes to get back to how it was before. I'm sure everybody is jumping ship as we speak. Before we get going, guys, if you are not yet subscribed on YouTube, go ahead and do that for us real quick. Pause, jump onto YouTube and subscribe real quick. We would love to continue to grow on there, continue to get better for you guys. And yeah, see kind of how that goes. Had a lot of fun stuff in the works still. If you could go ahead and follow us on all of our social medias as well, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on Twitter, Jared_Timms, Nate at NateGreen34. And you guys know if you are listening to us on any of our sister stations, that is Spotify and Apple, you will be sent over to a message right now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's go ahead and get it rolling though. So, Nate, you brought up an interesting point off the record today, and let's bring it on the record, shall we? So, kind of interesting here, actually. I take it back. I don't think you brought it up. One of my followers on Twitter brought it up.
Yes.
Kind of.
We were talking about it off the record, though.
Yeah, we were. I brought it up right away. I was like, it's really interesting. And weird that you and I are going to talk about the MVP race again. And I'm going to say it now. It's closer than you think it is. It's not, the judge is not running away with it. I don't think he's winning it unanimously. I do think he has a slight edge, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's winning it unanimously at the moment.
2010 right now.
I'll find who asked me that question, because I want to say it was Ken. I apologize if I butcher that name and you listen to this. If not, just ignore me. But let's just call him Ken for now. So Ken asked, if Mike Trout were to hit 65 homers in a season and Shohei Ohtani was doing the exact same thing, would our this year. Answer change? Would it change for you, Nate?
No. It Why? Would not. 61 is the most home runs by a clean player ever.
So, yeah, 100%, definitely. So
it's the most home runs in American League history. And it would be something that no American League player has ever done.
And I'm gonna be a fan here for you, clean. Because I know what all of our listeners clean. Are saying. Nate, it's not about home runs. And if you said that, go ahead and laugh at me, because it was funny. But
Odds on him hitting 65 home runs and not hitting 280 plus, though, are very slim.
Exactly.
So he's probably hitting 280 to 300. He probably has over 100 RBIs. He probably has an OPS over 1,000, and he probably has a WRC plus over 180.
Last couple guys to hit 50 plus home runs, because I think 50 home runs is unbelievable. But just thinking about this now, so did Giancarlo Stanton win the MVP that year? And he had 59.
I believe so. With the Marlins, that was his lone MVP, if I remember correctly. I don't think he finished that year.
That's impressive.
Didn't he get hit in the face that year?
Was it? I don't think.
I think that was the year he got hit in the face.
No shot. I don't think so. I find that hard to believe. In fact, no, I'm going to say no, it wasn't, because I feel like he missed a lot of time. Chris Davis. Did Chris Davis win the MVP? He hit 50, I think, didn't he?
He did not win the MVP.
Jose Bautista?
He did not win the MVP.
You know who won the MVP over Bautista that year?
Mike Trout?
I think Mike Trout did. Fairly certain he did, actually. Kind of interesting to think about there. Not that home runs matter, but if you're hitting 50 home runs, you're probably in MVP consideration, I would assume. Unless you're like Chris Davis and probably batted 220 that year, I would assume, or something along the lines of that when he hit 50.
2017 was Giancarlo Stanton. He played all year. He missed three games. So I doubt he got hit in the face that year. I think it was the year before. But yeah, he hit 281 that year. That would be on the low end of
281.
281. With an OPS over 1,000, an OPS plus of 169, he won MVP that year.
And Bautista, I know, didn't, because I don't think Jose Bautista won an MVP. He could have, maybe won, but I don't think he did, because he was going off for a couple years there. And I don't think Chris Davis won MVP.
I think
Miguel Cabrera won.
Bautista, I think, was hitting about 240 that year, though.
Makes sense. I mean that was what Shohei Ohtani did last year, right?
I mean, he hit 260 and 54 homers. He finished fourth in the MVP that year. Josh Hamilton finished first with the highest WAR of 8.7. Miguel Cabrera finished second. Cano finished third. Bautista finished fourth. Yeah, Josh Hamilton hit 359 that year, 3,200 OPS of 1044, which, wow, that's crazy. Jose Bautista did not have an OPS of 1,000. That is unbelievable.
Basically Shohei Ohtani's season. If that, I mean, that's basically what he was at there. So
close to it.
Back to the question though. I guess I'll answer it first. I think if Mike Trout hit 65 home runs, there's no way he doesn't win MVP first off. Just like
second of all, we really don't care because he's actually be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's answer number two there. I don't think that any of us would be talking about an MVP race, because I think we'd be talking about the playoff hunt.
We'd be talking about how many games can we win the playoffs? Can we win a World Series? That's what we'd be talking about, which would be exciting.
However, Mike Trout's 162 game average this year is probably pretty close to 55, I would assume.
Probably
pretty close. He missed a month. He's honestly probably like, if he hits at the same pace, he's probably, it's a three-man race for the MVP this year if he doesn't get hurt, for sure.
But again, the one thing that's going to come up, if the Angels were in the same situation and Mike Trout hit, you know, 50 homers and Ohtani had this year and the Angels still didn't make the playoffs, people would be saying, who cares?
That's fair.
Because to have one guy go off and not make the playoffs, it's like, okay, sure. But to have two guys go off and still not make the playoffs, then people are
historic.
Who cares?
They deserve the MVP at that point.
No, you deserve to be demoted to AAA at that point. Your team, your franchise gets demoted to AAA.
All right. So answer is we wouldn't care because the Angels would be in a playoff situation. End of that story. Got another kind of interesting one here for you. I know you wanted to talk about this new rule down the minors. You have that up and going?
I do.
Do it, because I'm intrigued by this rule. I really like it. It's something that I've wanted to see happen for a while now. Not implemented like this, but I've wanted to see a variation of it. And I think they're really close to it, and I like it.
I think this is better than what even you wanted. Yes. So each team gets three challenges on balls and strikes. So the umpire calls the game just like normal. And you get three total, whether it's from the pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter. So those are the only three people who can challenge. The dugout is not allowed to say anything. Once the dugout says anything, then you can no longer challenge that pitch. So you will have, like if the dugout is yelling, challenge it, then it's gone. You can't challenge that pitch anymore. You have to react immediately, and they have like a skyhawk that kind of tells you if it was a strike or not. It takes about a second or two. It doesn't take long. And then they just tell the umpire it was a strike or it was a ball. The umpire tells you. And then if you're correct, you get to keep your challenge. So you can challenge technically, you know, 50, 60 times in a game if the umpire is that bad. I would hope the umpire is not that bad, but you technically could keep challenging until you're three outs, basically. They give you three strikes. Once you mess up three times, you're no longer allowed to challenge. It could bring some strategy into the game as well, because if you're challenging in the first inning and you lose, you know, all three of your challenges in the first inning, you know, maybe two from pitching and one from hitting or vice versa, you might need a challenge in like the sixth, seventh, eighth inning, and you're not able to use it. So that could bring some interesting parts to this as well.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I like it. You didn't mention my favorite quote that you always say. I think you always say it. Maybe Derek says it as well. But if we have the technology, we need to use it. It's not you. Yeah, Derek. Okay. I'll quote that there. If we have the technology, might as well use it. The NFL does a fantastic job. Tennis,
though, I don't know. So this is my thing. The NFL gets so much credit for how
good job
they get. So much credit for how good of a job they do when it comes to the challenging system. But what was this is what I'm gonna compare. Balls and strikes is what everyone wants to be able to challenge. Everyone wanted to be able to challenge pass interference.
Oh yeah. I would say that was interference or the catch rule. Yeah.
That was and both of them have been a complete mess. Nobody still knows what a catch is. Like, there are different rules every single game you watch, and then pass interference you can't even challenge anymore because it was so bad. So it could be interesting. The other thing that I wonder goes into this: the umpires have an agreement. They're allowed to
back each other up and not give.
So the umpires have a union, and in their union agreement, it says they get an extra half ball off the plate.
Yep.
So that's inside, outside, up and down. They get a half ball every single place. Now, if they were to put this system in, do they continue to get that half ball? Because that's going to tell the umpire at the end of the game when they go up to their boss and say, hey, I had a pretty good game. And the boss goes, no, you missed 15 calls. And they're like, no, like, that ball was a half ball off. That ball was a half ball off. And they go up and he ends up missing two calls instead of 15, which people are like, it goes from being, he had a terrible game to, oh, he had a great game, to only miss two calls. So are they still going to get that half ball? And could that be a difference between a guy asking for a challenge and not getting it to be successful? So is that zone going to be the same where everyone is going to know it beforehand, or is, I don't know, that's going to be something that's going to be talked about, of course, like, especially, and are they going to make sure it's the same for Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve? Is it going to be a different strike zone? Like, obviously it has to be because they're different sizes, but is the technology going to be good enough to understand Aaron Judge compared to Jose Altuve?
Question on top of that would be, if you have the technology, why are we challenging? Right? Like, why are we not just using the automatic strike zone type of thing?
Because we want the human element.
I agree with that.
So we've already put so many rules and restrictions against the pitchers that, like, it's amazing that hitters are hitting under 250. It really is. Like,
if they go automatic strike zone, you need to make home plate bigger. Yes. That's fair, right? Like, I mean, because you're not going to be able to get, as bad as this sounds, you're not going to be able to get those calls that are a half ball outside the plate. Those ones that you just talked about, the ones that we saw Joe West missing all the time, the ones that we saw Angel Hernandez missing all the time that everybody talks about, everybody gets mad about, but benefit in a sense to the pitcher. There's also those ones that I know people are saying, what about those ones that miss right down the middle? You know, the who threw that? The Red Sox. Was it Rich Hill that crossed? Oh, no, it was Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
He threw the fastball. It was supposed to be a knuckle curve. He ducked, and it was right down the middle or something weird like that.
Well, and then you have all these relievers that throw 100, and they're supposed to throw the ball away. They miss in, and it ends up catching a little bit of the zone. It's like, do we really want to reward that? Like, you're a professional pitcher. You get paid to pitch. You should be able to hit a spot.
Yeah.
Roughly. Like, I'm not expecting you to be able to go out and, like, you know, hit every single spot perfectly. But, like, should we really be rewarding guys for not hitting their spot? Like, not even being close? Catcher set up away and you miss in. You don't deserve a strike there. Hit a spot.
See, this is when, yeah, I
you got to remember. I do agree. Remember, we are pitchers talking about this, so this is going human to be element. Different for other people.
Yeah, I agree. Human element needs to be involved in there, so I'm in agreement with the background, which on a side note makes Edgar Caro that much more valuable of a prospect for you Angels fans out there. Speaking Maybe. Of that, I don't know. Do you have anything? You got anything else on this? I like it. I like the rule a lot. I really do. I think it's something that should get implemented. However, if you go to straight, you know, automatic strike zone, you need to make home plate a little bit bigger for sure, because it's, you know, you're not gonna be able to hit corners anymore, I don't think.
Well, yeah, and there's gonna be like guys like Kyle Hendricks who are going to become extinct. You know, Kyle Hendricks probably will not be successful. He hasn't been very successful lately, but he's still been a competent pitcher that you can run out there every fifth day. Kyle Hendricks becomes no more, because if he can't hit those spots and get a ball off the plate and guys are taking those pitches, he goes from a upper 3 to low 4 ERA to an upper 5 to a low to mid 5 ERA. And it's like, yeah, now you're out of a job for sure. So that's kind of what I would be upset with. The other thing too is, if we're going to allow you to challenge balls and strikes, why can't we just allow everything to be challengeable? There should not be one play in the game that is not challengeable. You should be able to challenge fair or foul. You should be able to challenge catcher hit. You should be able to challenge anything. Like, maybe even check swings. Like, I don't care. Like,
that I agree.
We need to be able to challenge everything. If we're going to challenge, like, that's what I'm upset with. Like, why do we have challenge rules where it's like, oh, you can challenge that, but you can't challenge that? It's like, don't we have the technology to tell us, like, if it's fair or foul?
Yeah.
Like if there's a ground ball down the line at third, the third baseman and nobody calls it foul, the third baseman fields it, throws across, gets the guy out, and then the home plate umpire comes out and says, foul, foul, why can't we challenge that and say, no, it was fair?
Can't yet?
No. Pretty nothing sure. In front of the bag. Only behind the bag.
That's tough.
Ball has to be behind the bag. Like, those are the things. Like, why can we challenge certain things but not other things? Like, so I'm fine with this. I think this would be awesome. I think you would still have the managers get kicked out of games. Like, if the Yankees use their three challenges early and Aaron Boone's still going to be pissed off later in the game because he loves to get pissed off. He's always fun to get kicked out of games. He's probably the only one who really gets kicked out of games nowadays anyways.
Keep him around.
Once. But yeah, I think you'll still have those managers who will still get pissed off, because maybe their guys won't challenge it and they'll be pissed off saying, man, you've been bad all day. And, you know, you're lucky our guys haven't been challenging pitches because you've been bad all day, you know? So I think there'll still be that pissed off manager, which makes it fun. I think you'll have the hitters who might not be as pissed off anymore. I think it's a good scenario for everyone.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think that's got to be one of the next things. Challenging of balls and strikes. I'm not a huge fan of the automatic strike zone. You need to keep the human element in there, or else Nelson Cruz will catch. Yadier Molina isn't as valuable. Max Stassi isn't as valuable.
No, you're not. Net back there at that point.
Yeah, you might as well. Right, you might as well put a pitch back there. Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah, I'm in agreement with you. So Nate, let's keep this nice and short today. It's fantastic Friday. Got any final thoughts for me?
Single A officially in the playoffs. Low A is finally in the playoffs. So that's two Angels systems in the playoffs. So that's
two, possibly three if the Angels get hot.
So there's two teams in the playoffs for the Angels. That's good. That's good to see. And you know, a bunch of those young kids that people were excited about before the year. Kiro was up there in the prospect ranks, Vera, Placencia, and now Guzman's up there. Calabrese is starting to swing the bat really well. I know you're high on some of their pitchers too. So there's some fun guys out there. I think that's going to be a fun team. They've played well in the second half against the teams that they're going to play against. They're probably going to play against, I believe they're going to play against the Rockies in the playoffs and the Padres if they play well and they continue to win. So they've played well against those teams as of late. I think they just took 4 of 6 from the Padres a couple of weeks ago. They took 5 of 6 from the Rockies about 4 weeks ago. So they've been playing really good ball. Again, we're excited to see the Double A team in the playoffs as well. That should be here soon. They could actually win both halves, which would be outstanding for them to win both halves.
No, they can't.
Because I think they can. Double A, not low A.
Oh, double A, double A, double A. I thought you
were talking. No. Okay. Transition.
I was looking
double
up
A real quick. I was like, gotcha. No, I think they can win both halves. Yeah. I think they're still up a couple of games with probably about 2 weeks to go. So
they lost tonight.
That would be good to see. It would be really good to see for these guys and just for the young guys to continue to grow. Like winning starts in the minor leagues. If you learn to win down there, it's going to help the big league club. If you learn to lose down there, then you become okay with losing, and that's when you get the second worst team in Angels history. So I'm excited to see those two teams as they have a chance to win a championship.
Both do. You know, you're both. You got IE out there, who's one of the hottest teams in the Cal League for sure, winning in that second half. Playing against tough teams too, tough organizations. You know, same thing with Rocket City though. They got Tampa Bay, Chicago, some good teams that they're playing night in, night out. So, yeah, I like it. I'm excited to see some playoff baseball for sure. You know, that's going to be on every night for me. Shout out football season. So here we go. Guys, as always, just want to thank you all so much for listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos. Again, go ahead and subscribe wherever you are listening or watching. What's up, YouTube? Jump on there and do that. You can follow myself on Twitter, Jared_Timms, Nate at NateGreen34. And guys, thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.